All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our discussion on COVID rules for fishing for 2020. My name is Gabe Dunham. I'm the Marine Advisory Program agent for Alaska Sea Grant out in Bristol Bay, and I'm joined by a few of my colleagues.
Hi, this is Christina Andrew with the Bristol Bay Native Association.
Hello, this is Walter Reynolds. I'm a coordinator here at BBDC in the brokerage department. The invited guests that we have today are Tom Koloski from the state of Alaska. We also have Todd Larson from Dillingham, Greg Brelsford from the Bristol Bay Borough, Donnie Woods from the Bristol Bay Borough, Nathan Hill from Lake and Penn Borough, and Danica Wilson from Lake and Penn Borough. Tom, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Walter. My name is Tom Koloski. I am a member of the Alaska Unified Command. That's the organization that was formed out of the Department of Health and Social Services, Department of Public Safety, and Department of Military and Veteran Affairs in order to manage the state's statewide response to the COVID-19 pandemic. My branch, the Critical Infrastructure Sustainment Branch, is specifically tasked with working with our private sector industries to ensure that our critical infrastructure businesses are operating in a safe possible manner while protecting both their operations and the health of our local communities.
Thank you, Tom. Up next, Todd.
Hello. Yeah, it's Todd Larson, city manager for City Dillingham. We put together our an ICS structure, so to speak, with our current operations, and we have an EOC stood up. So part of my role as the city manager, actually, in my job description, is emergency manager as well. So we've been here about working on three months now. On this COVID challenge, and I've been here in Dillingham for coming up on 3 years as a city manager.
From Bristol Bay Borough, Greg and Donnie.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is Greg Brelsford. I've been the manager of the Bristol Bay Borough for about 2 years, and since March, I think, I've been the COVID-19 incident commander.
Good afternoon. Donnie Wood, deputy COVID-19 incident commander. My role is to help Greg manage the mitigation from the borough's perspective and work on monitoring the policies that processors have put in place and making sure that our EOC gets supplies to our necessary partners helping to mitigate our COVID-19 pandemic.
Great. Next, we have Nathan Hill and Danica Wilson from the Lake and Penn Borough.
Hi, this is Nathan, and thank you for the opportunity to be online today and to share with you all the role that the Lake and Peninsula Borough plays in this. And we've also been in touch with Dillingham and Bristol Bay to try to help coordinate a kind of a unified effort in our community. I'd like to also introduce Danica Wilson, who is on staff as our planner / community development coordinator. And recently with COVID-19 since March, she's been the interpreter of the mandates and the emergency planner. So, Danica, if you want to say a couple of words, you're.
This is Danica Wilson at the Lake and Penn Borough. I'm the acting emergency manager and here in support for Nathan.
Broadcast is to provide information on state and local requirements to fish during the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. I'm sure a lot of folks out there are asking what I need to do to go fishing this season. And so we're going to be covering Health Mandate 17 and local ordinances. After our guests have had an opportunity to give an overview of what's in place, we will then transition to answer some questions that we've received from local fishermen. And lastly, Gabe will take us through the rest of the agenda.
Right. Then following that Q&A session, we're going to provide you some information about what you should think about for your commercial fishing operation as far as liability is concerned. We'll discuss some recommended equipment for this year. And also, Walter's going to tell us about where we can go to find more information, particularly for specific questions you may have. So for now, let's go ahead and get started with giving some time for our guests to speak. First off, we've got Tom Koloski with the state of Alaska to give us an overview of Mandate 17 and some of our drift and skiff and shore-based regulations.
All right, thank you. What I would like to do first is give everybody a quick background We have several different health mandates that the Governor Dunleavy has put in place in order to provide protective measures to ensure businesses are operating appropriately, and we've got appropriate controls and restrictions on travel and operations throughout the state. So for the majority of our critical infrastructure businesses, we've required them to submit a community workforce protective plan detailing how are they going to run their operations under the COVID-19 restrictions. And we've received almost 2,000 plans from businesses across the state, including many corporate vessel fleets and fishing associations talking about what they're going to do aboard their vessels this season. One of the things we realized fairly early on is this is going to be kind of a big expectation for independent vessel captains and people who run set net sites to try and develop one of these plans. So what we did is we worked with our medical professionals from Department of Health and Social Services and some of our folks who were very familiar with the fishing industry to basically develop those protective plans for our vessels and our set net sites. And we consolidated that information into Health Mandate 17. So Health Mandate 17 is pretty much the primary guidance that is going to let people know what they need to do in order to fish safely this year. What I want to do before I get into 17 is talk very briefly about one of the other health mandates. Health Mandate 10 is our mandate that's specifically about interstate and international travel, people arriving to the state of Alaska. That was recently revised, and we put out some changes to that on Wednesday, June 3rd, and there was some confusion about how that applies to our people who are coming in as vessel crew members or set netters. So we've actually revised the wording of Mandate 10 again today on Friday, the June 5th, in order to clarify that incoming arriving crew members and set netters who are coming from outside of Alaska into the state still need to follow the requirements and the procedures in Health Mandate 17. So hopefully it clears up some of that confusion there. So speaking specifically about Health Mandate 17, I would highly encourage that anyone who is going to be on board a vessel or fishing out of a set net site or off a skiff this summer to definitely get through the details of the mandate that are available on our website. It's covid19.alaska.gov, G-O-V, and that will take you to a page if you click on Health Mandates, and that you can scroll down and click on the plus sign next to Mandate 17, and that will give you the full mandate there and the three appendices which we're going to talk about today. So initially we wrote Appendix 1. That is the protective plan for our commercial fishing vessels that talk about what all crew members and vessel captains who are arriving to the state to fish out of our ports and in our waters. And that was mostly written up for crews that are going to be on board and living on board the vessel very closely out at sea for several days. We also developed Appendix 2, which we're going to talk about in a minute, which is acknowledgement about the requirements of the mandate. And then we developed Appendix 3, which is very similar guidance for our folks that are coming in to fish out of a set net site on shore or off a skiff that's going out and back every day. So the rest of our independent fishing harvesters would fall up under Appendix 3 to Health Mandate 17. So I would strongly recommend that people look up these three appendices on our website and get familiar with the details. I'm going to give some of the very brief overview here. So I'm going to talk through the Appendix 1 and 3. The procedures are very similar for our vessel crews as they are for our set netters, and I'm going to talk about some of the differences as I go through. One of the first things that's discussed in both Appendix 1 and 3 is the required documentation. What do vessel captains need to have on hand this year? What do set net site managers need to have as far as documentation of what's going on? And also, just to clarify, we understand that at certain set net sites, you're going to have multiple permit holders there. You might have several members of the same family. The site manager is really that person who's overall responsible for that site. We expect that to be the person who's conducting the transaction to sell their catch to a tender or straight to the processor. So the documentation that's required, every vessel and every SatNet site needs to have a signed Appendix 2, which is an acknowledgement form that they're aware of the requirements of Mandate 17 and that they're following it on board their vessel or at their SatNet site. And the tenders and the processors that are purchasing catch need to verify before they buy that fish that the vessel or the SatNet site has an Appendix 2 on file. So that's the first thing that everyone's going to need for documentation. We're also expecting that when crew members or harvesters arrive to a vessel or a SatNet site, they're being screened before they get aboard the vessel or they're allowed into the site. And once they complete their quarantine period, we need some sort of documentation of that. So a vessel captain can go ahead and annotate in his log that, you know, we had John Smith from Prescott, Arizona, arrive at the vessel on this date. He did his quarantine period before he checked aboard the vessel. Or we had Jane Smith that came aboard, and she came aboard on this date, and this was when she completed her quarantine on board the vessel. Or all of us started our quarantine on this date when we left Seattle in order to sail up to Alaska, and here's when we completed the date when we completed our quarantine. We'd have some sort of documentation that every vessel crew member and SatNetter, you know, every harvester at the SatNet site have gone through and been screened and completed their quarantine. So both documents go then into the travel requirements, what we need to do to travel safely up to the state of Alaska. And that includes things as far as wearing face coverings. We strongly recommend that any travelers make sure they're aware of any other restrictions from their air carrier if they're flying through Alaska Air or they're even flying chartered, and make sure you comply with those requirements. When you arrive up in the state, we expect people to go straight to their quarantine site. If they're quarantining prior to going out to the small community, there's different options there. If they're going straight to out to their site, or they're going straight to the vessel, we need them to go through and not stop along the way and go straight to where they're going to do their quarantine. And this is going to be different for our vessel crew members. There's a couple different options as far as quarantining prior to getting on the vessel, or going and actually doing it on board the vessel, or in an apartment or in some sort of lodging while the vessel, while you're still prepping the vessel to go out and fish. So we want to make sure that when you're in that quarantine period, you're adhering to all the guidelines of quarantine. You're not going into public places. You're not leaving your quarantine location. Everyone else that you have any sort of contact with is also going through quarantine with you. Your meals are being delivered. You're not going out for that. And you basically have no contact with the local community or anyone else who has contact with the local community. So if you've got a crew that's quarantining together, you have somebody else who joins that crew or joins that SatNet site that's starting their quarantine, you need to restart the clock for everybody there, the 14-day period. If there are some there's some procedures listed in Appendix 1, if you have a vendor that's coming to your vessel to help do some maintenance or anything on board, there's some very specific procedures you have to follow to make sure that you're not introducing something else to the people who are in quarantine. For our SatNetters, it's a little bit different. There's two main options we would like people to follow, and it breaks down to, am I going to quarantine before I go out to the small community, or am I going to travel straight through, get out to my campsite and quarantine there? If you're quarantining ahead of time, whether that's in Anchorage or Juneau or Fairbanks or another large community like that, trying to make sure you get that quarantine done and get a testing before you go out to the small community. Okay, that's sometimes a little bit difficult, but what allows you to do is when you get on the ground in the small community, say you're going to Clark's Point or you're going to Igigik, you can go ahead, and once you get on the ground there, you can go to the store, you can get your provisions, and head out to your site. You've already completed your quarantine. If you're going to quarantine on site of the camp, you can't do that. You have to go straight from the local airport right out to your campsite. Can't stop along the way. You need to have your provisions delivered, and you need to keep yourself isolated from the local community, and other SETNet sites around you during that 14-day period. Okay? During your quarantine period, you can go ahead and start work on your site or on board your vessel, as long as you're making sure that you're maintaining your isolation and your social distancing from any other vessels or SETNet sites around you. And you can actually, if you've got a vessel crew that's quarantined together, you can actually set sail and start fishing while you're in your 14-day quarantine period. You just have to make sure if you have to sell catch at any time during there, you let the tender or the processor know right up front, we're still in our quarantine period, and take some extra precautions that are listed in the mandate as you make that contact to sell that catch. One of the last things I want to talk about with the travel and quarantine procedures, and the questions come up quite a bit, what about testing? Is testing mandatory for fishermen coming through? At this time, it's not mandatory for fishermen and harvesters that are adhering to the full 14-day quarantine, but it's highly recommended to try and get PCR testing done before you allow someone onto a vessel or before you allow them into your SETNet site. And this is just really trying to make sure that we're not introducing the virus into an area where people are quarantining. So it's not a requirement this time, but it's highly recommended. And the state has worked very, very hard to try and expand our testing capability for people who are arriving in the state and going through before they go out to a remote location or remote community. The next thing that the appendices talk about is screening, and it lists the different questions and things that site managers or vessel captains should be looking for in order to screen someone when they first show up to their site, to making sure they don't have any symptoms of the virus, taking their temperatures before you allow them to mix with the rest of your crew. It's also something that we recommend as a daily process. You know, as you're going throughout the season, make sure you're checking up on your people. And it can be as simple as, you know, hey, how you feeling this morning? Do you have any signs of a fever? Are you one of the big things we've been finding is that there's a loss of taste and some other things with fatigue. So any other signs of those of the virus, make sure you're checking your folks regularly for that. I understand that thermometers are a big issue, but do the best you can to try and get those thermometers if you can, because that's a very good indication of potential virus. The next part of both the appendices is called protecting the public. And this is the part that could really get folks in trouble if we don't take a lot of care to make sure you're keeping your crew as much as possible separated from other crews and from mixing with the local community. There's a number of different measures in there to make sure you're minimizing contact with the locals, make sure you're minimizing contact with any vendors that come on board. Really make sure that you're talking with your harbor master to understand, or boatyard manager, to understand what you can and can't do in their areas. Some businesses have put in additional measures as far as wearing masks in their business or limiting hours, specifically for people who are in the fisheries industry. You've got to respect those protective measures that the business is putting in place. There are a lot of questions on, okay, what about our fish ticket? How do I do that in a non-contact environment? And we've been working with the folks at Alaska Department of Fish and Game to see how much we can automate the process of sell and catch. Unfortunately, there's certain things that require you to do a wet signature. There's certain things that are actually written into Alaska state law that we can't really change just because of the virus. So make sure you're working with the tenders and processors to understand what they need there. The next part of both of the appendices is called protective measures. And these are things that you're going to take on board your vessel or within your SETNet site. And a lot of these are very general guidance, because we understand every vessel is different. You know, your ability to socially distance from members of your crew, your ability to eat at different times or in different manners is probably going to be really limited. So we encourage vessel captains to look through there and figure out how can you do this for your vessel. You know, site managers, really look at your SETNet site and how you're laid out, how you do your lodging. What are the ways that we can try and keep the virus from potentially spreading between your crew? There's also some very specific guidance in there about transactions when you're selling catch or when you're You have people making deliveries. And really the main thing is when someone is feeling sick, keep them in their bunk. Keep them from actively working hard and exerting themselves and spreading that virus to the rest of your crew. There's also some recommendations in there about cleaning and disinfecting. And here I want to remind everyone, if they're not aware of it, there's a consulting company out of Seattle called Discovery Health MD, and they've been working very, very closely with the fisheries industry throughout this pandemic to advise them on some medical procedures in order to operate safely. And one of the things that Discovery Health MD has done a great job with is developing some deep cleaning procedures and disinfecting procedures that vessel crews and set net sites can use. So I'd strongly recommend people looking at their website to pull those procedures down. And I know UFA and a number of other associations have links to Discovery Health MD. And then the next portion of the appendices is, what are our procedures? What do we do if a crew member gets ill? It talks about how to identify them, doing that daily kind of screening every morning. If somebody does seem that they're having symptoms of the virus, how do we isolate and assess them? Really, one of the first things you want to do if you've got someone who is showing signs of the virus, you may think has the virus, call and get medical advice. There's information in the mandates about our public health nurse systems that we have set up around the state. If you have any sort of telemedicine contract like CDOC or one of the other telemedicine you can call, make sure you're calling them and getting advice on what to do with this crew member. Because they're going to help make the call on your immediate actions on whether you have to get that person off your boat or out of your site. The other thing very specifically here for vessels, there is a requirement by the U.S. Coast Guard under their Maritime Safety Information Bulletins to notify the Coast Guard of any COVID-like symptoms. You must notify the captain of the port. So for Prince William Sound, all around the peninsula out to the West Coast, that is U.S. Coast Guard Sector Anchorage. They are the captain of the port. You have to notify them if you have someone with COVID-like symptoms. Get on Channel 16 and start letting them know, and they will let you know what other information they need. There's other information in the mandates about how do I potentially transport this person. And the one thing we want to reiterate for vessel captains, site managers here, for a lot of people who get this virus, they may end up being asymptomatic or they're going to have relatively light symptoms. You know, it's going to seem like a bad cold. There's always a tendency to, okay, I'm going to fish through this. There's also a chance with this virus that someone could have serious respiratory issues develop. So if you have someone in your crew who starts presenting with the virus, you need to be thinking, I may have to get this person off my boat. You need to be trying to position yourself, come into shore so you can get them off if they start to crash and have serious respiratory issues. You really need to be thinking about that. And overall, just be thinking about what in the military we used to call it our go, no-go criteria. At what point, if I have a couple people getting sick, I can no longer safely operate the vessel, I'm going to have to come into shore. Okay. And then one of the final things under the procedures for ill crew members is, what do I do with everybody else? If we do have somebody who's confirmed positive for the virus, you really need to isolate the other members of your crew. If there's no way to isolate folks on board your vessel, you probably need to assume that you're all potentially exposed and begin a quarantine process for everyone on that vessel or at that set-net site who is potentially exposed to the one person. And then some of the last things that are in the mandates is advisories to vessel captains and set-net site managers, thinking about, okay, what overall impact is this virus going to have on my operations? We know that there's going to be issues with getting supplies. We know that there's certain things like cleaning supplies and thermometers that are going to be in very short supply. There may be other wraparound issues that are going to be in the port. Make sure you're calling ahead and finding out if there's any specific requirements you have to go through at individual ports or any sort of shortages of supplies or services, and how is that going to impact your crew and your operations. So that's kind of a brief overview of the mandates. As I said, I would strongly recommend that people get through and look at the details on our website. That's basically what I have to pass today. Thank you very much, Gabe.
All right. Thank you very much for that great information. And that was Tom Kolasky with the Critical Infrastructure Sustainment Branch at the State of Alaska COVID-19 Unified Command. Next up, we've got Todd Larson, our City of Dillingham manager. He's going to speak to us for a bit about an overview of Dillingham ordinances and the harbor rules.
Okay. Thank you, Gabe. So Dillingham has two ordinances that will apply to people coming through Dillingham. The 2020-07 is the travel permit ordinance that's been in place for a while now, and it requires a travel permit coming into Dillingham. We're going to be cleaning up this ordinance a little bit on our Tuesday night city council meeting, and the council will make a decision on extending this as it expires soon. That does establish a critical personal needs definition, which is important to know that's for the travel permit ordinance. It also reinforces the state mandates that Tom's been talking about, and we memorialize some of those in our ordinances as well. So that's a real quick overview of 2020-07. They're on our website, really. It's the best place to go. You get to the front page of the site, Dillingham, Alaska. You go down, there's a central travel permit on the left-hand side, and then there's emergency ordinance FAQs right below that, so it's two tabs. The second ordinance we have is 2020-14. It's a new ordinance last night that we replaced three previous ordinances. There was some confusion with those three ordinances, and people were having a difficult time reading them and understanding what the requirements are. So this 2020-14 came in, and it provides a lot of clarity. It's basically the same as the other ordinances. It's just all put together, and it's more in a, and I call it a more plain language as opposed to legal language. And it addresses quarantine requirements, protective measures, testing policies, isolation, restricted use of city facilities, and it extended the time frame from last night to the 3rd of August. Secondly, Gabe, we've got you mentioned the harbor rules. The port committee had met; they met three times to discuss these and had a lot of community input to them. The port committee members put out their final this last week. It's getting out on social media. It'll be on our web pages. It'll be in the harbor itself, distributed harbor. And our PIO is Jamie O'Connor. She's doing a lot of this in assistance with Gene Barrett, our harbor master, port director, and they're developing pamphlets and things. So we're trying to really push that information out. It's basically really what it's all about is this. You know, this season is not business as usual season. They really want to kind of really along what Tom was saying is get in there, get your business done, get whatever testing is required, and get out on the water and go fishing. That's the best thing that can happen. The harbor rules also are going to restrict how often or how much. I mean, if you come back in, you can't wrap up and go hang out for a couple of days or 3 days. It is only for, if emergencies, if you need something done to your boat, you have quick issues and maybe it'll take a day or so. And any longer than that, the harbor master is likely going to have you pull your boat out and do the work in the yard. So, don't raft, don't come into the harbor unless you absolutely need to. And that's really in a nutshell, quick rundown of our two ordinances, complementary to the state's ordinance, because of course the mandates are required as well, and our harbor rules, Gabe.
All right, thank you for that information. And that was Todd Larson with the City of Dillingham, the Dillingham City Manager, Next up, to share some information with us from the Bristol Bay Borough, we have Greg Brelsford and Donnie Woods. Would the two of you like to give us an overview of pertinent regulations over there in the Bristol Bay Borough?
Sure. This is Greg. Just to give you an overview, we have 10 major processors here and some smaller ones, 7 major boatyards. And every summer, at least historically, we've had a surge of processor workers and fishermen of between 10 and 13,000 people. As I mentioned earlier, we have a unified command. Chimai Health Clinic is handling the health and medical aspect of the COVID issues and threat, and the borough is handling everything else, monitoring people within the borough to make sure they're complying with the rules, and also meeting airplanes to give all the arriving passengers certain information that the borough wants every visitor to the borough to have. We'll start working on Monday next week with Denali Universal Services. That's a security and health and safety company that the state of Alaska has hired to work with the Bristol Bay Borough, and also, as I understand it, to work with Dillingham and Igigik. We had a resolution along the lines of what Dillingham has done. It's not exactly the same. Ours was 2017, which required everybody coming to the borough to quarantine for 14 days. Our interpretation is that governor's mandate 10 with the revised exhibits A and B canceled that resolution. So now we have no resolution requiring, no borough resolution requiring a quarantine of any kind in the borough. We do educate people. That's the materials we hand out about the governor's mandates. And I appreciate Tom's reference to a new revision to Mandate 10.1. We'll look for that so that we can incorporate that into our materials and educate the people that are arriving about Mandate 10.1, Mandate 17 regarding the fishermen, and Mandate 18, which regards intra-state travel. Donnie, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'll just briefly add, you know, I heard Governor Dunleavy recently say that it's up to us as Alaskans to make sure that we're doing everything within our power to follow these and make sure that we're doing it safely and properly. And I just echo thank you to those who take calls every day, dozens of calls every day, and we're very grateful for those who are trying their very best to follow it step by step. There's a lot of discussion and science and probably even debate that goes into these mandates. So we're grateful for those of you who are showing that respect and taking those measures, and we applaud you for that. Everybody else, please do the same. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Great information from Greg Brelsford and Donnie Woods from the Bristol Bay Borough. Next up, we have Nathan Hill and Danica Wilson from the Lake and Penn Borough. Go ahead, Nathan.
Hi there. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. The Lake and Peninsula Borough, of course, is a little different than the Bristol Bay and Borough and Dillingham. We're far spread out. The major epicenter for us would be Igigik on the fisheries front. We've also got Chignik down south, but they're not in the Bristol Bay fisheries. In Igigik, we met with the state of Alaska here a couple of weeks ago, Ben Stevens and members of FEMA, Dr. Zink, and the city of Igigik expressed their concerns over security and keeping people in the community safe. As of Monday, there will be, I think, 3 security personnel showing up in Igigik, and there is also some folks from the health world that will be showing up out there. Igigik does not have a health aid. They don't have a PA, and so there will be both people from the processing end and I believe from Bristol Bay Health Corporation showing up in Igigik to help serve the community during the fishing season. As far as particular ordinances, the borough doesn't have a commercial fisheries-related ordinance out. We are doing our best to track and follow the state mandates. We are keeping in communication with our neighbors, Bristol Bay Borough and Dillingham,
and trying to coordinate as best we can with them. If there are major outbreaks and or sickness that happens in the communities south of King Salmon, we are also going to be dependent on the Samaritan's Purse, and are very grateful that they are in our backyard here with a world-class healthcare facility. I'd like to give Danica Wilson an opportunity to chime in if she wants to, and Danica, let me know if you've got anything to say here. But
I think you about covered it. I know Chignik is preparing for the influx of people there too. I think they're preparing to put up like a mobile shower station and just limiting the interaction there in their community with fishermen who come in.
All right. Thank you very much. That was Nathan Hill and Danica Wilson from the Lake and Peninsula Borough. Thanks to all of our speakers. And now we're going to transition into our Q&A session. We did solicit some questions from you, our listeners around Bristol Bay, prior to inviting our guest speakers in to speak with us. And we're going to go ahead and address those questions one by one. And I think first up, Walter has a question to ask for our group.
All right. Thanks, Gabe. My first question is for Tom Kolosky. Tom, I know we kind of talked about this already, but can you recap what paperwork do I need to have on hand? And then, again, where can I find it and what am I supposed to do with it?
Thank you, Walter. The main thing for our vessel crews and our SetNet site managers is to have your Appendix 2 to Health Mandate 17 signed and on hand. Basically, that document is saying that you're aware of the requirements of the health mandate and that you're enforcing them on your vessel or your SetNet site. What it also allows is for our other vessels that are sailing under a previously submitted fleet or association protected plan, say something that was submitted by Silver Bay Seafoods or Groundfish Forum or one of those other agencies, you can annotate which plan you're sailing under and you're enforcing on your vessel or at your site. So that's the key document to have, and you need to have that on hand when you go to the tender or the processor to sell your catch. They're going to ask to see it at least the first time you sell to that particular processor or tender. After that, they should have a list, and they shouldn't have to see the hard copy anymore. The other documentation we touched on a little bit that you can find in the appendices to Mandate 17 is just documenting when your people have been screened and when they've completed quarantine. So those are the main things we've added for this COVID-19 season, Walter.
Our next question is for Todd. It's regarding a SetNetter in Ingushik, and she's wondering if they have to follow the Dillingham mandate.
Hi, yeah, thanks for that question. No, the answer is really no. The city of Dillingham only has jurisdiction within our city limits.
Okay, my next question is, what about the flag? BBRSDA has said that they will send out flags and masks for fishermen to wear.
This is Gabe. I can provide a little bit of perspective on the flags. I think if an operation is going to be conducting their fishing operations while they're under quarantine, they are required to be able to identify that their vessel is indeed under quarantine. And they can do that, or they're rather required to do that, using a Quebec flag, which is a checkered black and yellow flag, and they can display that up in their mast or in a prominent, otherwise prominent area. When they're out of quarantine, then they can display a Lima or solid yellow flag to convey that they're all clear and not under quarantine.
So I just wanted to add to that, too. The BBRSDA did purchase a bunch of flags for the Bristol Bay fleet that they are distributing to processors. So if you don't have flags yet, you can contact your processor to get both of those flags so you have them on board your vessel, and they did say they were doing this for both drift and SetNet operations. And then the masks that the BBRSDA is distributing should be found at LFS. I just want to ask Nathan this, are there flags available for the Chignik fleet?
Yeah, the borough was working with the city of Chignik, and we went ahead and purchased flags for enough for the entire fleet.
We sent flags directly to Perryville and all of the Chignics, and then there will be some extras sent in the Chignik to sit at their harbor there for anybody who comes in and doesn't have flags.
All right, this next question is for Tom again. Is keeping a log mandatory for all commercial fishermen in the bay? If so, where can we get thermometers? Do you have any recommendations for where we could buy those?
Okay, thank you, Walter. And I'm assuming the question about keeping a log, are we talking about keeping a log of daily screenings for crew members? Because we're talking about thermometers here, during the quarantine process, when someone first arrives, it's highly recommended that they're taking their temperature twice a day to monitor for those signs of the virus, so that if it does look like they're presenting the virus, we can really start isolating them as soon as possible before that starts to spread to the rest of the crew. So having a thermometer is really necessary when you're screening to get them on board. It's recommended to have if they're going to quarantine there on the vessel. And it's also a good idea throughout the season to be taking their, you know, folks' temperature, because that is one of the first indications we have.
Our next question could be to Tom. Where can I find a copy of what all is required for us to fish this summer?
Thank you, Christina. Now, and just be aware, the normal rules of all the other documentation required from Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, all of those things are still in effect. So the information that we're talking about here is the things that are very specific to this season because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So to find that information, if you go to the state website at covid19.alaska.gov, no dashes in there, that will take you to our primary webpage, and you click the link that says health mandates, or farther down the page, there's a big red button that says read the mandates. That will bring a page specifically for our health mandates. If you click on the little plus sign next to health mandate 17, that's the primary thing that affects our commercial fishing vessels and our set net site operators. And then farther down within that mandate, there's links to Appendices 1, which is for our commercial fishing vessels, Appendix 2, which is the acknowledgement form that everybody has to sign, that all of vessel captains and site managers have to sign, and Appendix 3, which is our guidance for independent commercial fishing harvesters, our set netters, our skiff operators, and that type of thing. Also, sometimes it's difficult to read those on the websites. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you can open the different mandates in a Adobe PDF format. Sometimes that's easier, specifically if you're on your phone. You can open Health Mandate 17 that way. So it's all on our website at covid19.alaska.gov.
All right. Our next question, again, is to Tom. You touched on this already a little bit in your discussion on Mandate 17 and the appendices, but could you give us a quick overview of the fleet plans versus the individual plans and how what an individual operator needs to have?
All right. Thank you, sir. And when we first started with the health mandates, there was a lot of questions, a lot of confusion. And so we had a number of different organizations submit plans. There was a number of different corporate fleets, such as Trident or Silver Bay, that developed their very detailed plans and submitted them. Those plans are still in effect. They're still valid. If you have a contract with one of those corporations, go ahead and follow their corporate vessel plan. We also had a number of associations, such as Groundfish Forum, several others. There's several different crabbing associations. They submitted association plans. Many of them remain in effect. I would say talk with your association and find out if their plan is still in effect. And we've reviewed all those plans from the Unified Command. What happened is we realized that having each individual captain or set net site manager develop their own plan was going to be a really tall ask. So we developed Mandate 17, and for independent vessels and independent set net sites, Mandate 17 is your protected plan. That's what you need to follow. And just be aware that some of those associations, once we released Mandate 17, some of them rescinded their plan because they said, hey, let's just everybody follow 17, because that's really the best guidance that's out there. So when you sign your Appendix 2, which is your acknowledgement, you just have to put on there, I'm either following Health Mandate 17 on my vessel or at my SetNet site, or I'm following this fleet or association plan. if you are operating under one.
All right, the last question. Let's start with Greg and then Todd, if you want to answer it as well. So if a person is in quarantine in your community, are they allowed to leave their place of quarantine, for example, a jog or a walk around the, you know, the neighborhood? Okay. Todd, maybe you want to start with this?
Yeah, thank you. For us in Dillingham, with, you know, it's part of 2020-14 as well. We quarantine here is a quarantine. It's pretty restrictive. There's five reasons in the ordinance. One is to receive non-elective medical care. Two is to go to the work site if their work is identified on the State of Alaska Essential Service and Critical Workforce Infrastructure Order dated April 10th of 2020. The third is to use designated portable toilets and shower facilities. Four is to be tested for COVID-19. And five is to leave Dillingham. So that's the five reasons that are allowed to for folks to be able to leave quarantine. So we're pretty strict on some of the stuff when quarantine means quarantine for us.
Thanks a lot to our guests. Really appreciate all the information and appreciate you all answering our questions thoroughly. That was really great. What we want to do now before we conclude here is we want to transition into a little section about some operational considerations and going on. One of those things that I'll touch on real quick is liability. Now, under maritime law and the Jones Act, those two pieces of law do affect how we operate out here in our commercial fishing businesses in Bristol Bay. And I would just want to read a second a description of maritime law, and that is that maritime law requires that captains and vessel owners provide medical care for crew members, and that applies to sickness caused by COVID-19. The principles for maintenance and cure apply to commercial fishermen just as they do seafarers on cargo vessels and other commercial ships. And as part of that, a ship owner must pay maintenance and cure for any illness or injury which has occurred, was aggravated, or manifested itself while the seaman was in the ship's service. If the afflicted crew member is unable to obtain the care they need aboard the ship, the operator of the vessel is responsible for the medical expenses incurred by the crew member on shore. Now, with respect to minimizing liability for maintenance and cure from COVID-19, ship owners and captains might wish to consider performing a health check, for example, taking crew members' temperatures, and some of that is described in the requirements that we've been discussing here today, before allowing them to board and go to work. Additionally, I just want to remind folks that that employers, business owners need to closely follow the guidance that's provided by the CDC and the Coast Guard that was mentioned by Mr. Kolosky in regards to reporting any incidents of infection. So what does that mean to your day-to-day operation and getting ready for the season? It means that you should consider things like what you're going to do when either you as a skipper get sick or your crew members get sick. You need to have a plan in place to take care of your crew members and take care of yourself as applicable. Part of that might be looking into getting some medevac coverage. You would definitely want to consider contacting your insurance provider and knowing what kind of coverage you have in the event that there is sickness aboard your vessel. Now I'll hand it over to Christina to describe some of the equipment.
Yeah, so this year is a little different. You are going to need some additional equipment. The three things that are required is you're going to need a Lima flag, which is yellow and black checkered flag that indicates that your vessel is under quarantine. And you're only required to fly this if you're fishing with crew members that are still doing in quarantine while on the water. Then the second thing that you'll need is a Quebec flag, which is a solid yellow flag, which indicates the vessel has completed quarantine and you're all good to go. The third thing that you're going to need is a thermometer, and you are required to have a temperature log for everyone on your vessel. Then the additional equipment that you need that is not required but is highly recommended is a cloth face mask. And again, LFS has buffs available for free provided by the BVRSDA. You should consider having hand sanitizer of 60% alcohol or more. And then hand soap, any type of hand soap will do as long as you're washing your hands for a minimum of 20 seconds. You want to consider having Clorox or Lysol wipes on hand. And with those, you want to make sure you're following the instructions on the label to ensure that you're killing the viruses and bacteria that you're targeting. You could have spray bottles with a disinfectant in it, and that there's a list of different disinfectants that you could use on the CDC's website, and I encourage you to check it out because there are 18 pages of disinfectants that you can use. There's quite a variety there. You want to have Tylenol or acetaminophen on hand. In some cases, ibuprofen is not recommended for COVID. Some people have had some negative reactions to that. You want to have some cough suppressants and cough drops on hand to, if someone were to get sick, that you can ease their symptoms. You, having extra paper towels and some Kleenex or facial tissues on hand would be helpful. Keeping disposable gloves, surgical masks in case someone gets sick, and face shields would be helpful, along with having disposable plates, cups, bowls, and silverware. That way you're limiting the contact with people's body fluids.
Yeah, this is Walter. I'm going to go over some additional resources. And first of all, I think that I should thank KDLG and say that KDLG is probably a great spot to get news about what is going on in the Bay. This broadcast, I believe, will also be on their website, kdlg.com. And then some additional resources. The Bristol Bay or BBRSDA handbook can be found online at www.bbrsda.com/COVID-19. The Alaska Sea Grant also has a COVID-19 resources page. That's alaskaseagrant.org/COVID-19 resources. BBNA, BBDC both have websites, and they have information about what we are doing for COVID on there. I know that BBAHC also has a website, and my clinic has one as well. You can check out that for some information about the COVID-19 pandemic. And then I want to invite our guests. I know that, Tom, you referenced a couple of websites, the State of Alaska COVID-19 website.
The other thing that I would also like to direct people towards is the website for Discovery Health MD. That is a medical consulting firm out of Seattle that's developed. They have a link there. It's called COVID Corner, and it has some really well thought out references for procedures that can be taken on board a vessel or at a SetNet site for deep cleaning and for a lot of other things. Very good resource for our commercial fishing industry.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Does anyone else have any websites or resources that they would like to mention? Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, sorry, sir. I had one more reference that I want to mention is we've tried to get as much information as we can out on the website. If there's still questions, we do have an organizational mailbox set up at covidquestions@alaska.gov. That's COVID questions, no spaces, no dashes, at alaska.gov. And we have got a whole number of people who monitor that box that can answer questions about critical infrastructure, fishing, travel, medical procedures, and things like that. So general questions, please put into covidquestions@alaska.gov. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Tom. That's a very good resource for us.
Hey, but I just want to throw out there, our website's pretty easy to find, dillinghamak.us. On the left-hand side, the pull-down menus, there's the COVID-19 resources, one about the travel permit, one about the emergency ordinance FAQs. You know, I've been pretty brief in my answers here just for time, and there's just so much to this, like we talked about. We're trying to get it down into chewable pieces, but that's kind of why I've been really brief and fit it into this 1 hour program. So look at those resources. If you have issues or questions, please give us a call.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. And I know that this is definitely hard mm-hmm. to keep track of, but if you do have any more questions, your city website or contact your local city or village administrator and see what they have going on in other communities.
If I could have a second, this is Nathan Hill, and I don't know if I mentioned earlier, but because all of our villages have probably some sort of rule or ordinance that may be in addition to what the state has, we have posted all of those on the Lake and Peninsula Borough website as well. So if you're visiting the Lake and Peninsula Borough and you have questions about specific communities, we have a lot of communities, and they're all of their ordinances are included in our website. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Nathan. That is all that I have. So I want to thank KBLG. I want to thank Gabe Dunham and Christina Andrew. And I want to thank all of our guests for all their hard work and for helping to contribute.